freedom. Thank you for joy. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength, Lord. Amen. Thank you for eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit's saying. There's so many deceptions out there, Lord. I thank you that we're not under deception. Lord, thank you that we're here in the Spirit of truth in this day and age. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of truth that dwells in us, that lives in us, that speaks through us. And so we honor you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. You love him tonight? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that he never gets relegated to the back room unless you put him back there. Amen. You know, so I was just going to say, if you want to be seated, be more than happy, whatever you want to do. There's not many of us here tonight. Lord, we just pray. I know there's some that are sick. We thank you for your healing power for those that are sick, whether it be flu, COVID, Wuhan flu, whatever you want to call it. We thank you for healing by their bodies from the top of their heads to the sole of their feet. We just declare healing over their lives in Jesus' name. And we speak and declare healing over our lives in Jesus' name. And so we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I would just think, you know, that the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, or experiencing the Holy Spirit, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, it's different for each individual, I think. I remember my wife saying that when she was at an Assemblies of God church in Whittier, California, 9 years old. Power of, huh? It wasn't Assemblies? Okay, Pentecostal church. I guess there's a difference. And the power of God hit her. She's just shaking and just started speaking in tongues, right? That's her wonderful experience. And for me, I'm at work washing windows. And by faith, I just started speaking in tongues. And the enemy says, you know, tells you that's gibberish, that's nonsense. So I just kept doing it more and more and more. I never had an experience like my wife, but my wife will probably tell you I speak in tongues more than she does. And it stirs me up, starting by doing that by faith, because I just wanted everything that God had for me. And so when during the day, things that'll, you know, little things that'll come to mind in my heart, things that even anything that starts feeling unsettled, I start speaking in tongues. The power of praying in tongues. Amen. That is not our session tonight, but that's good stuff anyway. And so as we're doing that, and you know, I just want to say that sorry about that, thank you. I'm not praying in tongues there because, you know, a good way to pass the time or that's what we should do. I felt compelled to pray in tongues. And I felt like the Lord wanted to do some things in some people's heart. If they were receptive to that or not, I don't know. Or if that'll take place next week, next month, I don't know. But I know that it was accomplishing something. So as I began to try to stop the Lord, it was just like the Lord said, don't stop what we're accomplishing. And I know Sunday mornings, that's not going to work. Unless God just, heaven comes down and glory fills your heart. Because I know we have an array of different type of people here. But I know on Wednesday, I know we can do that with absolute freedom. Amen? Amen? So does anybody know what session we are in the book of John? Thank you. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Billy. Session 39, and we are still in chapter 5. So the plan is we're going to get through one verse, two verses, or maybe three verses. Amen? And so tonight, as we've gone through the back of John, isn't the book of John just rich? It is just rich. And I think in a year, year and a half, when we're done with the book of John, we're going to go into the book of Hebrews. Wouldn't that be awesome? So I want to talk about Jesus himself giving himself the title, or he would say, the Son of Man. So I want to talk about Jesus given himself the title of Son of Man, and then I have, or was it himself that gave him that title? Son of Man. Verse 26 of chapter 5. Verse 26 of chapter 5, it says, for just as the Father has life in himself, this is Jesus talking, so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And then verse 27, and he gave him authority to execute judgment. We've talked about that for a few weeks regarding Jesus. The Father gave Jesus authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. And you could read that and skip over it, but I stop right now and say, well, why did he say because he's the Son of Man? What is it about the Son of Man? And so I know that it's not just, it's talking about Jesus. I know that in Numbers chapter 33, in Numbers chapter 33, verse 11, if you have that, Bill, Numbers 33, 11, thank you, brother. It says, this is God, and this is God speaking in Numbers, right? Jesus is not in the scene. He says, God is not a man that he would lie, nor a son of man that he would change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, will he not make it good? So we know God is not the Son of Man. God the Father says, I'm not like the Son of Man. In this point, he's talking about you and I are Son of Man, right? We all have a Father. So we are all Son of Man, right? Son of the earth, people of the earth, born on this earth. But yet God, Jesus, carried and called himself many times, we'll see, the Son of Man. And God says, I'm not the Son of Man. I'm nothing like you guys. I don't lie. You guys lie. You guys do things that I don't do, but I am not a Son of Man. But God the Father did not become man, but his Son did. God the Father did not become man, but boy, did his Son, didn't he? Amen. We had that part one last week. Remember, we're talking about Zechariah. This week, we're going to talk about Mary before she had Jesus, and then our Christmas Eve one-hour service, we're going to talk about the birth of Jesus. And so God the Father did not become man, but his Son did. And so Son of Man, Jesus' favorite designation referring to himself was the Son of Man. The Gospels record some 78 times that Jesus used the title for himself. For example, when he asked his disciples the question about his identity, he said, what do men say that I, the Son of Man, who am I? And even Matthew, let's read where that comes from Matthew 16, Matthew 16, 13 through 17. Matthew 16, 13 through 17 says this. Now when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? So he's calling himself the Son of Man, right? So he's saying to them, he's the disciples saying, who do they say the Son of Man is? He's asking them questions, right? He knows what answers they're already going to give, but he asks them. It's interesting, he doesn't say, who do they say that I, the Son of God, am? Is he the Son of God? Absolutely. We'll vet this out. We'll speak more about it as we go along. But he said, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they said, we're talking about the disciples, verse 14, and they said, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. Boy, seem like good answers, but not right answers, right? Not right answers. So some of you can imagine the 12 disciples, so some of them are saying, you're Elijah, or you're like Jeremiah, the prophet. Or you're like this person or that person. And Jesus is simply saying, who do they, I, the Son of Man, am I? Who am I? And he said to them, but who do you yourselves say that I am? And then Simon Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Amen. So he realized that a man who was God, but born on this earth, right? I don't know what he knew about the virgin birth or not. I'm not sure. We don't hear about that. But we know one thing, that Jesus was calling himself the Son of Man. And by the Spirit, Peter says, you're the Son of God. You're the Son of God. I see the flesh and blood. I can see you, Jesus. I see you walk with us. I see that you talk with us. I see that you got hands and feet just like us. I see that you don't look any different than us. You're very common. Matter of fact, you know, you're very common, but I see that you're not just the Son of Man, but you are the Son of God, the Son of God. Amen. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon. My Father in heaven revealed this to you. And it was revealed to Peter by the Father. And for you and I, we too have to believe first that he was the Son of Man. We'll explain it. And the Son of God. But we have to believe he was the Son of Man first. Amen. For you and I to be saved, we have to believe first that Jesus walked this earth. Amen. He was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life. He committed how many sins? The big goose says zero. He committed no sin. He was perfect. He fulfilled and completed the law as the Son of Man. Amen. As the Son of Man, hung on a cross for our sins, died, rose again, and is now at the right hand of the Father. And all of this started as him being the Son of Man. Only one man lived a perfect life. Only one man accomplished, amen, accomplished removing yours and my sins away, amen, being justified freely by his grace. Hallelujah. So let's talk about the Son of Man a little bit more. So number one, I want to talk about the Son of Man, is that the Son of Man in humility or humanity. And that's in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6 and 9, it says, But someone, this is in the book of Hebrews, but someone has testified somewhere saying, what is man that you think of him? Can you believe that God thinks of us? Fallen. The depravity of this earth, depravity of mankind. But he says, can you believe that even in the state of man, God has thought of you and I? God thinks about every person in the planet. I've been watching these videos of people that live on the streets and hearing their stories of how they got there. And some of the stories are heartbreaking. And then some of them, they just came from normal homes and the mistakes. But even in that situation, the Son of Man, the Son of God, loves them with a dying love. Oh, how he would love to restore them. You look at any polished, well-dressed individual human being that you can think of, a wealthy-to-do businessman, somebody running a corporation, but yet God looking to that individual that nobody thinks about, how he loves that person with the same love as every other individual on the earth. That's the Son of Man. The Son of Man, as he was walking on earth, you think about all the people that surround him, all the people that were trying to get at him, all the ones that are struggling, all the ones that were considered the bottom of the barrel of society, but yet those are the ones that Jesus walked amongst as the Son of Man. Don't you love our Lord, Savior Jesus? Amen. Amen. What is man that you think of him, or a son of man? Here we go. Or a son of man that you are concerned about him? Let's read some more. Who's the Son of Man? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have put everything in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him, right? We know that death was the last thing to be defeated, isn't it, death? Hallelujah. Death is the last thing to be defeated. Coming a day where there will not be any more death. And then it goes on. But now we do see that all things are not subjected to him. And then it says, verse 9, it says, but we do see him who is made a little lower, or little for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus. He was one that was the Son of Man, also made a little lower than the angels while he walked here on the earth. Amen. He did not walk in a perfect world. Amen. He was in a man's body. He was 100% God and 100% man. But it says here he was made for a little while lower than the angels, and that was namely Jesus, because of his suffering, death, crowned with glory and honor, amen, so that by the grace of God, say the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Did you know that that Jesus was walking in the grace of God? It's right there. You read it right there. It says, talking about the Son of Man, made a little lower than the angels, that he suffered for a little while, amen. It says, and then by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. So the first thing, the Son of Man came to what? Taste death for you and I. So that you and I would not have to what? Taste spiritual death. We know that when he comes again, he's not coming to expose our sin, but to expose his righteousness that lives in us. Amen. He's not coming to judge us, but he's coming to glorify us. There'll be those who don't know him that will be under judgment. But when we see his face, it will not be for a judgment, but for bringing all the bride of Christ together. Amen. Amen. And so we see that the Son of Man, number one, in humility. Number two, the Son of Man in dominion. In dominion. And this is in Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. So I want to say before we go, this is where Jesus, reason why he started calling himself the Son of Man. It was prophesied that he would be called, that he would be the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I kept looking in the night visions. And this is Daniel speaking. And behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a Son of Man. There he is. There he is in the Old Testament. There he is hundreds and hundreds of years before he walked the earth, prophesying about one that would be called the Son of Man. So when Jesus said, I am the Son of Man, what he was basically saying, I was the one that you read about in the book of Daniel. Amen. Though you search the Word of God, he told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you don't realize that they speak of me. Don't you get it? When I'm calling myself the Son of Man, I am saying I am God. Hallelujah. One like a Son of Man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. Wow. Could you imagine that vision that Daniel saw of Jesus? He saw Jesus. He saw the Son of Man and was presented before him. And to him was given, and this is our Jesus. This is talking about Jesus. And to him was given dominion, honor, and a kingdom, so that all the peoples, nations, and populations of all languages might serve him. Hallelujah. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Amen. The kingdom of God will last forever. When we've been there 1,000 years, it'll be like a day, because the Word of God says 1,000 years to God is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. We'll be there 1,000,000 years, and it won't be nothing. You will never get tired of the presence of God. We'll never get tired of the kingdom of God. We'll never get tired being in the world with God, being his sons and daughters forever and ever. And this is where it's talking about. It all started with the Son of Man. So as Jesus is saying, who do they say the Son of Man is? God revealed to him, you are the Son of God. And it's the same thing that we see here in the book of Daniel. Amen and amen. You know, there's somebody else also, though, that called themselves the Son of Man in the Old Testament. Did you know that? And let's read that individual. But I'm going to read a couple of scriptures. He calls himself the Son of Man, but I relate to when Jesus was walking on the earth. So we know, number two was Son of Man in his dominion. And as the Son of Man, he also condemned religion and false prophets, did he not, while he walked on the earth? Let's look at Ezekiel 13, 1 through 3. Ezekiel, it says, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, and this is, to be honest, this is, Jesus said this when he came. This is what happened with Jesus. He could have said this exact same thing when he was on earth. The word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of Man, prophesy against the prophets of who? Israel. Who prophesy and say to those who prophesy from their own inspiration, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says. Woe to the foolish prophets who are following their own spirit and have seen nothing. And who was Jesus talking to during when he was on the earth talking to about the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees? He says, woe to you, you're snakes, you're whitewashed. You have no eternal life in you. Matter of fact, he says, when you make a convert, you make them twice the son of hell than you are. Wow. But it was with the same heart within Ezekiel 13:1, where the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of Man, prophesy against the prophets. It'd be like this. Son of Man, prophesy against the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes. Say to them, woe to you. Because the Son of Man, the one that you read about in Daniel, has come, and you refuse to believe. But Thank God that's not the end of the story, right? Thank you, Jesus. Because also in Ezekiel, he speaks to that generation of those who came to know him, and he speaks to the generation of you and I, brothers and sisters. And because he overcame as the Son of Man, he says in Ezekiel 36, verses 1 and then verses 9 and 11, it says this, "Now you, son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, you mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you will be cultivated and sown." What do we sow that saves people? Is it the word of God? Right? You know the different sowers where the sower sowed the word of God and it found some found fell on bat, you know, on hard soil, on soil where there was a lot of different weeds and choked it. Then it said it fell on good soil, on good soil. Amen. So the same right here, it said, "Prophesy to the mountains, Israel, you mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. For behold, I am for you. I will turn to you, and you will be cultivated and sown." In the book of Peter says that we are born again of incorruptible seed. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that you are born again of incorruptible seed? You may have some struggles in your mind. You may have some struggles in your flesh. But I'm telling you, you're born again of incorruptible seed. Amen? You belong to him. So don't let the enemy lie to you that you don't. You are born again of incorruptible seed. How do I know? Because Ezekiel chapter 36 says so. Amen. Long before Jesus ever come, and he said, "Son of man, prophesy." He's talking about what Jesus would say to your generation and my generation even right now. Hallelujah. If you think about it, it'll make you jump up and down. Aren't you glad that the word of God is even being sown right now? Hallelujah. By his Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then it continues. And it says, cultivate and sow. In the verse 10 it says, "And I will multiply people on you, all the house of Israel." Anybody here, sons and daughters of Abraham? Thank you, Jesus. "And I will multiply people on you, all the house of Israel," all of it, it says. "And the cities will be inhabited, and the ruins will be rebuilt. And I will multiply on you people and animals, and they will increase and be fruitful. And I will populate you as you were previously and treat you better than at the beginning." Hallelujah. "Then you will know that I am the Lord." That's talking about the new covenant, amen? And we know that he's going to restore Israel. At some point, it says that all the number of the Gentiles will come in, and then Israel shall be saved. In the age of the church, in the age of grace. Aren't you glad to be in the age of grace? Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody else, has the Lord been patient with you through the years? Yeah. That's because of the grace and mercy of God. That's the dispensation. My goodness. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. "Then you will know that I am the Lord." And then it's Daniel sees this, the Son of Man. Then Daniel 7, verse 9, it says, "I kept looking until thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His garments were as white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames. The wheels were a burning fire." Could you imagine seeing that, Daniel? So this garment was white as snow, but that reminds me, who does that remind me of? Well, Revelations chapter 1, verse 13 and 15, Revelation. This is John. He had known the Son of Man on earth, hadn't he? He loved Jesus. We know in this book, in the book of John, remember how many times he says that he identifies himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved? Isn't that awesome? We've talked about that. And it says, "In the middle of the lampstand," now he sees Jesus. He sees the Son of Man as the Ancient of Days. "And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a Son of Man." Look at that. Like a Son of Man. He uses that phrase. But how does he see him this time? "Clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and wrapped around the chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like white like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze. when it had been heated to a glow in a furnace. Could you see that in your mind? And his voice was like the sound of many waters. Amen. That is the Son of Man in his glory. He was sown in weakness, but raised in power. You know, sometimes you and I can feel like we're being sown in weakness, doesn't it? We know we have his Holy Spirit. We know he heals. We know he delivers and sets us free. We know he guides our lives. But yet some of the stuff that we go through in this earth, it can make us scratch our head, can't it? So sometimes it makes we seem like we're being sown in weakness. And even Paul said, man, I asked the Lord three times, man, remove this harassment that's going on in my life. Remove this. This is driving me nuts. Everywhere I go, problems. My own countrymen trying to kill me. Other people trying to kill me. The church is coming against me. False prophets. All of that. And he says, and what did the Lord say to him? My grace is sufficient, for in weakness my power is displayed. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for displaying your power. And what seems like we're being sown in weakness, but yet his power remains with his sisters and brothers. Doesn't matter what you're going through right now. His Holy Spirit remains with you. Let it come out of your mouth. Begin to praise him, to begin to exalt him, to begin to pray in the Spirit. But you begin to say, Lord, I know I'm weak. I know I feel like I'm being sown in weakness, but your Holy Spirit is powerful in me, God. Raise me up, Father, in your strength and your power, Father. No matter what comes against us, amen, his power is there to be displayed in our lives. Hallelujah. So there's an aspect of Jesus that will always be known as the Son of Man. We just read it in Revelation. I saw one like a son of man, but it didn't look like no son of man to me. That white glowing hair, those eyeballs like fire, his legs like bronze. Does that look like any son of man that you know? Mm-mm. Sown in weakness, raised in power. I like what Paul says. He says, when we get our new bodies, we don't know what we're going to be yet, but we know we are going to be like him. So maybe I'm going to have a beautiful white hair. Amen. Eyes of fire. Bronze feet. A new body. Amen. It's not... Everything that we go through, it will mean nothing when we see. Even Paul, everything he went through, he said, what did he call them? He said, these light afflictions. Are you kidding me? Being chained in a prison, in a dark dungeon, writing some of the books of the Bible, and he calls them light affliction. Why does he call them light affliction? He says, because they are dim in comparison to what's going to be revealed. Hallelujah. Saints, God blesses our lives. He leads and guides our life, but it is nothing to be compared to when we see him. Everything that we went through, he has seen everything that we've struggled. He sees every struggle. He sees everything that we've ever gone through. And when he opens the books, man, that is payday. Those who have rejected him, I know they go to eternal damnation, but you and I are going to be rewarded and say, man, those things that I'm looking at now, they seem minute and small compared to what I see here. The throne room. Jesus. Can you imagine him saying, daughter, son, well done. Come into everlasting life. We're going to say, man, it was worth it. There'll be a season saying, man, why didn't I see it more clearly? Why didn't I see it more clearly? I don't know about you saints, but as long as you and I are walking on the earth, we have an opportunity to see it more clearly. Until you draw your last breath, we can see it more clearly. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, looking unto the Son of Man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just read a couple more, one more set of scriptures, and we're going to let you go. Luke chapter 24, 36 through 43. So there's an aspect of Jesus that will always be the Son of Man. Luke 24, it says, now while they were telling these things, Jesus himself suddenly, this is when Jesus had died, he hadn't really appeared to them yet, but he had died and risen again. Jesus himself suddenly stood in their midst and said to them, peace be to you. Thank you, Jesus, for peace this evening. But they were startled and frightened and thought that they were looking at a spirit. And he said to them, why are you frightened and why are doubts arising in your hearts? It's easy sometimes to have doubts arise in our heart, amen? We see what's going on in this country. We can see maybe even our own struggles or struggles in our family or extended family. It's easy to doubt. And so when I read that, I say, Lord, man, they see you. And he's saying, why are you doubting? It's kind of like Zechariah, when I was talking about last week. He sees Gabriel, and it's not enough for him. It's amazing how jaded or tired or downtrodden we can become. And so when I read that, and I said, when it says, why are you frightened and why are doubts arising in your hearts? I said, Lord, I don't want any doubting in my hearts. I don't want any doubts in any areas of my life. Lord, I don't want any doubts. I don't care what it looks like. I want to speak your faith. I want to speak your strength. I want to speak your joy. I want to speak your provision. I want to speak your health. I want to speak your power in my life, Lord. I don't want to have one that anything in my heart that arises as doubt. Amen. And then he says, see my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you plainly see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still could not believe it because of their joy and astonishment, he said to them, have you anything to eat? They served him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in front of them. That the Son of Man will always have those pierced hands, pierced feet, pierced side. There's an element of the Son of Man for you and I that will remain for eternity. Will always be a reminder of what was purchased for you and I. Saints, how can we doubt him? Amen. He is complete. He's complete. He's done everything for us. He's done everything for us. Lord, how we love you. Lord, give us spiritual eyes. Let us see things like you see them, Lord. Lord, stir our hearts afresh and anew. Father, I was thinking of what Paul said to the young Timothy. He said, fan the flames of those giftings and abilities in your life. Stir those things. Amen. Continue to be stirred. Don't allow yourself to get downtrodden in this day and age. Don't allow doubt to creep in. But he says, stir those things. So we thank you, Father God, that we'll be seeing what you, the Son of Man for eternity, what you accomplished for us. So we stand here today saying, Lord, we believe in you, Jesus. We believe that you purchased us. We believe that you empowered us. And we believe that you are coming again. Hallelujah. And that we will spend eternity with God the Father and the Son of Man. And so we thank you for that tonight, Lord. How we love you. How we honor you. How we worship you. How we praise you. We thank you that you paid a price that we could never pay. And we thank you in Galatians, it says the first promise as saints that we get is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Father, we just pray that we'd realize how big we are inside of us because of your Spirit. Strengthen us, grow us, stir us. And we honor you and we love you, Father. We bless you. We praise you. We exalt you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name above all names, we pray. The Son of Man, Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen and amen.